You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this podcast. In this first segment, oh, man, we talk about so much. We talk about the Cooligans Derby. What a snooze fest. We talk about Tottenham versus Chelsea and the racist abuse. And it's not the fans you think. And we also talk about how some clubs put out a badge that the fans don't like. And they actually retracted and switched back.
Crazy. Never, unprecedented. And in the second segment, we're going to be talking to Quincy Miracle. We're going to be playing the interview that we did at our live show at Audi Field with Total Soccer Show. So we are joined by Taylor Rockwell and Daryl Grove, and we have a great conversation. We talk about a bunch of stuff. You get to know Quincy Miracle, and he's a fascinating, unique figure in American soccer. So I'm glad we got to talk to him. So all this and more on this episode of the
Cooligans!
Man, like troops, back again. About my blood clot, yang, all of that. Man came on the Cooligans and shut the thing down. Make sure you watch. If you don't, you're a ham roll blood.
Yeah, baby!
Whoa! Okay.
Come on.
There it is. Look, a little holiday edition. Yeah, baby.
What?
You know, nice.
I should have been, yeah. Jingle Hanukkah. I'm trying to That's get everyone new- in here. And shouts to the atheists.
Everybody gets love. Even the ones who don't love anything.
What up, Kwanzaa? Everyone. Okay. Everyone going to get some love out here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Yeah, this is a nice holiday edition. Even though we're not on television, the no breaks. Okay,
oh, we haven't gotten canceled. We're still on television.
We're still on television.
We're just not on television right now.
Exactly. No days off, as Bill Belichick likes to say. We take no breaks, and we also secretly record the other podcast as they're training.
We know what you're up to. We know what you're up to. Total Soccer Show.
Okay.
We're reading your lips.
I just
saw you say, like, yo, are we being recorded? I just saw you ask that.
Okay, we got eyes everywhere. Yes, we're excited to do this. Yeah, it's like, sometimes there are other shows that are like, hey, you know, the holidays are coming up, and, let's get back at it in January. No, not the Cooligans. That's not how we function. All right,
that's what we do. When we hear that, we go,
right? We overwork, right? And then it gives us an excuse to not spend time with our families. All right,
so this Hell is yeah, son. Okay. We don't do this for us though. It's just a fringe benefit that we don't have to talk to nobody. We do this for you.
Okay, so lots of benefits for everybody. But let's because some people might be commuting to their families to holiday parties spending some a couple days with their loved ones, and they might need something to commute with, and this might be it. So you're welcome.
And you know how some people be taking like the slowest possible way to commute, so it's less time they got to spend with their families. Like, I'd be like, yo, there's a lot of traffic. And my mother'd be like, it sound like a bodega. And I'm like, no, I'm listening to, like, white noise to relax me during all
Mom,
this traffic.
Get your ears checked, Mom. You're going, you're losing it.
I know, coño, man. You, viejita. This isn't a bodega,
Yeah.
And she's like, I heard your wife just asked for an empanada,
Yeah, all of a sudden you have to, like, start thinking about putting your mom in a nursing home. It's just like, I don't want to have to do this, Mom, but you're putting me under a lot of pressure.
Right? Just to keep the lie going.
So look, this could be incredibly helpful. We haven't done this in a couple weeks because we're doing the TV show. There's a lot going on, but whenever we do the podcast, the rules. We have to show love to the people who show love to us, and that's by reading the reviews of people that leave them on iTunes. So we are currently at 596 reviews. Why haven't we gotten to 600, Alexis? I think
it's because we stopped begging.
They see the TV show. They're like, oh, they don't need reviews anymore. You're wrong. We desperately
need
the iTunes. Exactly. So Let me read this one. This is from Fanboy, and Fan is spelled P-H-A-N. This could be that fan, the comedian that won the first season of Last Comic Standing. I don't know.
And
I'm just saying.
Did you do air quotes when you said comedian?
Hey, man, you don't win, quote unquote, Last Comic Standing without being a quote unquote comedian. All right, bro. Anyway,
they almost renamed the show to no. That was the last comic. The last comic was the last one standing.
So this is from Fanboy. He says it's he goes, it's funny, it's informative, and then it's G, and I assume it's the word is gully, but there's just ellipses. So he goes, do you enjoy tactical analysis of soccer? Do you enjoy two guys wearing blazers? Then this podcast ain't for you, my guy. Alexis and Christian are the funniest and gulliest guys in the soccer podcast game. If you're a new or quote-unquote seasoned soccer fan and you haven't heard of the Cooligans, what are you doing? Start listening to them from episode one and get caught up. If you think that's crazy, it's not. It's mad gully. Thank you so much, Fanboy. Appreciate you, man.
Oh, boy. Hi, Fanboy.
Okay, you might be a boy. You know, I'm not going to presume you're a man. No big deal.
Well, I don't care what you are or what you consider yourself. You're our homie, okay?
Okay.
That's how it is now.
Yeah.
I like this one from Amy_X-Ray. Gave us five stars. Says, new to the pod. Where you been, Amy? We've been around for a hot minute. We on TV, yo.
It's all them X-rays, yo. They're messing with you.
Right. They're messing with your brain, you know. So he put shows hilarious and nice to hear a couple of Americans talk about football/soccer without feeling like they can only talk MLS or EPL. I support U.S. Soccer, Fulham, D.C. United, and UMD Soccer, so I appreciate it. Looking forward to the TV show. Good luck. Thank you, Amy. We don't need your luck. We need your five-star review. So thank you for leaving that.
Oh, hilarious. So thank you so much for that. We appreciate it. Yeah, so leave a review if you have
not. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I hit the more button. She also put, P.S. was working out as a fellow fat guy. I know this is confusing, Alexis. It's when you exercise to try to lose weight and be healthy. Listening to your podcast, and literally, you made me do a real-life spit take with my water bottle because I was laughing so hard. So, all right.
Look at that.
All right.
Look at it. We're making you drink less water. We're making you drink less water because you're spitting it out. So, look at that.
Hell yeah, dude. We don't want you hydrated, yo.
Water's gross. Get it out of your mouth.
Ew, so, dude. Did you know beer exists, my guy?
So thank you for that, and thank you for the support. It's been a crazy year. Yeah, TV show, traveling all over the country, all over the world, doing a bunch of stuff, and it wouldn't have happened without those reviews.
A 2019 we had, huh?
But yeah, we did it. Pretty crazy. I mean, from doing live shows at Audi Field. We basically christened that stadium. We went to Germany. Everywhere. L.A. You almost got arrested.
We're on TV.
It's just nuts, man. And we'll take the time to recap a lot of those moments, but we have to start today's show by talking about a couple things in the news that, you know, we have to make sure we get to because we can't wait until January to talk about them on television. So first, I think we have to start with probably the biggest news of the weekend, which was Tottenham against Chelsea. And not just the horrible loss to Tottenham, Jose Mourinho playing against his former club and getting smacked by Frank Lampard, handling business 2-0 without Christian Pulisic, which shows really if you don't even need, your big guns, the big American guns, big old Second Amendment Pulisic out there.
Hell yeah, dude. The right to bear arms all over your ass.
So if you don't need Pulisic, then I think your club's in a state of just disrepair because they got handled. And then after the red card that was given to Son,
a deserved red card.
He kicked out at Antonio Rudiger, and maybe
if you didn't see it, he did that thing that people do when they try to, like, launch themselves onto their feet from their back, but Rudiger happened to be in the way.
Exactly. Son was just breakdancing, and Rudiger really just got in the way of one of his moves. So that's
right. Rudiger was just standing there, and in Son's head, all he heard was beep, 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 beep. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It's like, you know how basically what happened to Rudiger is like what happens when breakdancers on the subway or like people who are dancing on the poles and stuff like that accidentally hit somebody, where it's like, it's not the worst injury you've ever had. But you were just commuting to work. You didn't expect to be kicked in the chest.
You're trying to get to your office job. Next thing you know, you're eating the bottom of a Jordan. You know what I mean? It's not what you wanted. You were listening
exactly.
to your
it wasn't
headphones.
In the plan. All right, at least you have something to talk about over the water cooler. That'd be nice. Okay.
Right. Yo, hey, yo, Janet, how'd you get that shiner? What the fuck happened on the subway, Janet?
You know, just Julio was doing windmills and caught me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Pedro showed up and started doing calisthenics on the damn handlebars.
Hey,
next thing I know,
now I'm a real New Yorker. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah. But then we both fought a rat. You know what I mean? So like now we're homies, man.
We took that rat's pizza and I'm happy. So it all worked
right?
out.
They yell showtime, I show my cankles. We make money together now. I'm quitting my job. That's why I came in. Janet's part of the dance crew now.
Anyway, so yeah, what a great what a lovely life Janet leads. But Rudiger definitely makes you know, as they say, makes a meal of it. Obviously, but he got kicked, and Son did kick out, and Son did the you know, collapse.
It's also Son. If you're gonna get Son to get a red card, you got to show out.
It's
you can't just. It's hard to get. Son is like beloved,
and that's the interesting part. And now this is his third red card in the Premier League since he's been there. And there were a couple interesting stats that he has now received as many red cards as Eric Cantona, which is like, okay, all right. When you think of these two people, you don't really think of them as being like, you know, these as you don't think of him as being as aggressive as Eric Cantona. But even Eric Cantona, only three cards, is a little bit of a surprise to me because he did jump in the stands and drop kick somebody. So you would expect that there would have been a lead up to that, as opposed to that being just like sort of coming out of nowhere. But Son is like you said, beloved. And you see it now that we're like more connected to and following a lot more British people in the Premier League. You start to see that one, Son is beloved, and that he is he has a little bit of an what would be the best word, like a revenge streak. Whenever somebody like files him somewhere, he likes to get back at people, and that isn't necessarily covered or because he's so beloved, people sort of look past it. But he has a couple of these instances. It happened again in the Everton match against Andre Gomes when he tackled him from behind. Yeah, and unfortunately, Andre Gomes got his ankle was broken after that. But nobody necessarily blamed Son for that because it's just an unfortunate event. But and he felt terrible for it. But he does have a little bit of a temper that, and that's what Rudiger kind of bodied him and did. Probably did foul him, but doesn't merit kicking the dude. And even though it wasn't like super, super aggressive, he kicked out. And you understand why he gets a red card. I think what sucks about the Premier League is that it's an automatic 3-game ban, right? If you get a direct red card, which is different than, I think, most leagues.
Especially for violent conduct, which that's considered. But also, you know, Son is, everyone loves him. Even me, as someone who does not like Tottenham, right? Because I'm an Arsenal fan. I don't despise Tottenham, right? I like to watch them play every once in a while. It's exciting just because it's soccer. I hope they lose every match, you know? Certainly, I hope they have less points than Arsenal at the end of every season. This season, not going to happen, I highly doubt. But that's my goal. That said, Son is one of the few people that's ever worn a Tottenham shirt that I actually really like, not only as a person, but just as a soccer player. He just seems like someone who is a good person all around. And a part of that comes from how he reacted when Gomez's ankle did a 90-degree turn that it wasn't supposed to, right? But that said, it's like, you know, he's like the good kid at school who does all the extra homework and, you know, lets you cheat off him every once in a while and, you know, brings extra stuff to lunch, you know. He's like, he's a nerd, but, like, everyone still likes him because he's cool. Like, he'll throw a party and he'll let you drink his mom's beer and his dad's beer, you know what I mean? Like, he won't do it, but he'll let you do it. Like, right, he throws a pool party at the end of the year. But God forbid you make fun of him, he goes nuts, and everyone forgives it because he's such a good guy otherwise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They look past it. It is. It's unfortunate, but it is. He does have this little bit of a record with this stuff, and yeah, he has to. You got to clean it up. I mean, you got to work on that because he is pretty young. How old is he's 27.
He's 24.
No, he's 27 years old. All right. I mean, I for some reason, I thought he was like, yeah, 23, 24. You would understand.
I thought he was 24.
He's a kid. No, 27 years old. So this old enough to, like, he knows better. And even when he got the red card in this match, he was, like, shocked, couldn't believe it. You know,
I mean, that's just his go-to. Everything is like, no, who, me? You know?
but you understand it. And he did catch Rudiger a little bit. He kind of, like, scraped his ribs. And, I mean, yeah, I've been, like, you know, hit with, like, get cleats to, like, my like calf, and it hurts. All right, there's no part of the boot that I want on my body. All right, so I think that's pretty clear. So he shouldn't be too surprised. But the bigger news from this was the racist chants.
The racism happened, and Chelsea wasn't involved.
Well, they were involved, and only this time it was directed at one of their players. So
yeah, I mean, but they're not the ones doing it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The Chelsea fans were like, whoa. This ain't us this time.
It is weird because it's like this weird hot potato that the clubs are, like, passing to each other, and they're like, and every time they pass the potato, they're like, you know, now they criticize the club that has the potato, and they're like, whoa, how could you have the potato? That it's real shame. It's 2019. Why are you still carrying potatoes? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden you have the potato. You're like, now I gotta hold this potato.
Antonio Rudiger was dealing with racist chants from the end that he was defending, and he followed the protocol. He told his captain, Cesar Azpilicueta. Azpilicueta told the referee went to the fourth official. They did an announcement, told him saying racism doesn't belong in the game, the whole spiel. And then the weird part, and that I haven't really gotten confirmation on, was why they did the announcement three times, because the protocol is supposed to be announcement once, then take the players to the locker room for, I believe, 15 minutes. And then if it continues, then suspend the match entirely. And that didn't happen. They just did the announcement over the PA three times. So people were like, this is odd, because this isn't how it's supposed to go. So then now people are accusing the Premier League of not taking the racism issue seriously enough, because there's not any real punishment for the people who do this, and they're not really trying to stamp it out of the game because they're not taking enough aggressive enough action. And it's hard to argue with that, but I don't know if the announcement was made three times because they wanted to make it three times based on that one instance, or that it happened three times and they kept announcing it. So I'm still not sure what happened.
Here's the thing, like, especially with the amount of, you know, sort of racist abuse that's happened in the game in general this season. Again, a lot of it coming from Serie A, but not the only ones, but certainly right now the leaders, right, points-wise on the racist charts. If because
table.
Of that...
There's a separate table for that.
There's a special, there is a racist Champions League that they're Serie A right now. It's just they're going to win the cup.
They're just absolutely crushing it, you know. It's been like 3 years in a row. I don't know if they're going to be beaten.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, just keep it, you know. You know, with all that, everyone should be sort of have, you know, like a itchy trigger finger when it comes to this kind of stuff. Stamp it out the moment they see it. You know, the leagues should be aware, or all the clubs should be aware. If this happens, here's what the protocol is. You know what I mean? But this is the most frustrating thing about Premier League. It's like they don't They don't want to follow any of the rules the way they're set. They don't. The VAR, it's just the official standing there waiting for someone to tell him in his ear. No one goes to the screen. They don't follow any of the rules specific to anyone else. They do their own thing. This isn't one of the opportunities where you get to do your own thing, dude. Like, if just people do a monkey chance, you get one warning. It's one strike, you're out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but they're like, no, come on, guys. We told you two times, dude. What are you doing? You know, no.
Yeah, Done. It feels a little it's a little too, I mean, the Premier League has the luxury of being like, we are the most, you know, popular league in the world, and you know, when it comes to like when FIFA's like, hey, you got to do this, and I'm like, hey, you're talking to the Premier League, all right? You're not talking out here to you know, some Slovakian league, okay? We decide what we want to do. And this is an instance where, you know, same thing with VAR. Like, MLS handles VAR better than the Premier League does. It's a very silly system. And, yeah, MLS had it's not perfect and it has the issues from time to time. But there's a certain level of faith that I think fans have in the process when they see that the referee is actually looking at the play. And it's a level of certainty and assurance that we can trust the referee that's on the field right at that moment. And Premier League is like, nah, take too much time to do that. We don't want to do all that. Yeah, so it's unfortunate. I mean, it's gotten to the point. There was a clip that we retweeted that was on, I think the show is called Football Daily on Sky Sports, of Gary Neville making an impassioned statement about, you know, why he thinks racism is unacceptable and how these things shouldn't happen in the game. And he even...
And the players should be allowed or should feel the confidence to walk off the pitch, which I completely agree with.
Yeah, but I love that he put the, you know, responsibility on himself as well. He Ashley Cole was sitting right next to him in the studio, and he says, you know, when Ashley, I think when they were playing together and he was dealing with racist chants, he didn't do anything, and he regrets that moment in his life that he didn't defend Ashley Cole a bit more. And so it's a real issue that people are it's affecting people deeply, and he shares this, and then the moderator, for some reason, after he goes on this like 90-second, really kind of sharing these important words,
inspirational,
very much, and he goes, he says, I just have to say, those are the thoughts of Gary Neville and not Sky Sports. And Gary Neville's like, obviously, like, what did I say? That was so, like, that was imbalanced.
He's like, wait, do you not agree? And he's like, no, I do personally or not is not the point. I just need to make sure that I keep it fair and balanced. And he was like, what balance? What do you mean balanced, dog?
Yeah.
Gary Neville's like straight up G status, because he was like, hey, yo. What's the balance you're talking about? You saying like, yo, what if the racists don't agree though, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yo, what side are you on exactly, my dude? Because it was a little, he was really baffled. I think like everyone else, it was just the worst time to say those words. What opinion that Gary Neville was sharing that was that controversial? He just said racism is bad.
I think the only reason he said that is because he said both political parties have been alleged to have sort of racist pasts or something like that. And I think because of how sort of polarizing the recent election was in England, I think that's the statement that led the producer to probably say to that host, yo, make sure you say that this is only the opinions of Gary Neville, not us. I'm thinking that's the only thing. But I completely sat with Gary when he was like, hey, yo, homie, be straight up. What balance is you talking about? Because, if that was me, I would have been furious. I would have slapped somebody.
Yeah, but
I would have been
even
furious.
And I understood that. And I thought the same thing. I understand why he was sort of saying that. But even still, Gary Neville was making kind of a bit of a blanket statement saying like that all the parties are responsible for that kind of rhetoric. And so, which is not untrue. So it's still a weird thing to say because of the grander statement. He didn't say specifically the thing about the political parties. The Sky Sports does not necessarily endorse that statement. He said it was like basically saying the whole thing, and it was like the majority of what he was saying was about racism and racism in the country. So when anyone is like, "Hey, that's how you feel. That's just you," then it's like, "All right, dude. You understood why Gary Neville was being like." What's not balanced? It's just like the weird. As soon as he said, "I'm here to moderate basically like a healthy debate," I'm like, "What is the healthy debate?
What's healthy about the other side of that argument?
Exactly.
My guy.
What you gonna solve racism on this soccer show? No.
Yeah. Just shut up and let him say what he said. Could you imagine if your girl was like, "Look, I understand that relationships are difficult, but I think the most important thing is that you just be loyal to each other and you don't cheat on each other." And imagine you were like, "Hey, I just want everyone to know those are only the thoughts of her, not of the whole relationship."
Yeah.
You wouldn't make it home.
Okay. I didn't know. You know what? You won't get to talk anymore. That's the new rule of this relationship.
Guess what? I'm going to be balancing the piece of your skull that I rip off with the rest of the body parts and put them in this nice double bag and bury it or throw it in the water. Exactly. What the fuck are you talking about? Could you imagine?
Hilarious. So yeah, it was.
You're at a corporate meeting, and like, this company cares about its employees. It cares about the environment, and the last thing we would do is cook the books. And the CFO gets up, and is like, "I just want everyone to know those are the opinions of the CEO, not specifically of all of us here." You'd be like, "Which one was it? Which one was the one you don't agree with, my guy?"
Sir, you need because to clarify like, right now.
You ain't gonna keep your job for much longer, my dude.
So just crazy.
You're at a restaurant and the chef comes out and he's like, "I just want everyone to know we try our hardest to get the highest quality ingredients and we keep everything clean." And the sous chef pops out. I was like, "And that's really just the opinion of the chef, not really the rest of the restaurant." He wouldn't eat there.
Okay.
What the hell are you talking about?
That's your man's, all right? I don't know what he's talking about.
Nah, dude. So, I put pubes on everything.
Okay, allegedly. Hey, don't nobody go checking that.
He says it, he admits to it, and finishes it with allegedly. Here's what I do. I put pubes on everything. Allegedly.
I'm just legally required to say that, okay?
Yeah, hey, I'm just trying to keep it fair. You know what I mean? Sometimes pubes get on things supposedly, you know.
So look, they're not handling it well, and the Premier League, the bigger responsibility is that the Premier League needs to they are the most popular league in the world. They need to handle this in the best way to kind of lead the rest of the leagues in the world to kind of follow suit and take it more seriously. All the money is in the Premier League. All the eyeballs are there. It's a little bit, I would say, their duty to handle this properly. And this was not one of those instances. So
you know what's gonna happen is I think here's what the Premier League should do. The Premier League should give free tickets to the Mandem. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
okay.
Could you imagine if there's just a bunch of goons, you know what I mean? Just sprinkled about the stadium, okay?
I think, every white male has to be accompanied by two black men to enter the Tottenham Stadium. That's the
new
rule.
It's like getting in a nightclub. You know what I mean? If you ain't got no girls with you, you ain't getting in. It's like, "Yo, dog, you ain't got no black dudes with you, my guy. I can't let you in."
I mean, we're not going to be irresponsible because we don't know how reckless your mouth be.
And like, "Yo, I just need at least one dude who looked like he got a good right hook. Like, if you could go find that dude, we'll let you in."
Exactly. So, yeah, look, hopefully it doesn't happen at all, but you know, that's obviously not realistic. It is. I think the more annoying part to me, outside of just the racism, is how childish the racism was, right? It's like, "Oh, my player got a red card and I didn't like that the black guy got fouled. He got kicked. I didn't like that, so I'm going to make a monkey chant." And it's just like, bro, you shouldn't be at a public space doing anything because it's so ridiculously childish. It's as simple as if that red card doesn't happen, you know, then that racist incident doesn't happen, right? So it's so stupid because you saw your player do that. That is what happened. So the fact that you would respond that way to at all, I mean, you shouldn't be allowed at any sporting event at all because you're clearly, you know, ill-tempered and childish, and you use racism to hurt people, to hurt human beings.
Also, think of the irony of defending an Asian guy with racism.
Yeah,
it's very confusing,
very odd. Yeah, like I don't know who you are, who you're
son
an ally
is like,
of.
This ain't for me, right? Even his son is leaving. He's like, wait, no, you're not doing this for me, right? This don't make no damn sense.
All right, because I don't really need your support right now when you're doing that.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I got a 3-game vacation, my guy.
So. So unfortunate. So we'll see what happens going forward. A couple other things we wanted to talk about before we get to we have a fun interview from a live show that we did at Audi Field, you know, with Quincy Amarakwa, which is super fun, and I'm glad we can finally share that with everyone. So the a couple other things were one. So Louisville City. So we were talking about this a couple weeks ago in regards to the Chicago Fire changing their logo. And you know, obviously how upset everyone was and you know, everybody's trying to figure out how to move forward with that. But the interesting thing was
By the way, no one liked it, right? Like, did you see any comments of people like saying no, it was good?
The only comments I saw that were even mildly positive were like just tolerating it, like, okay, let's just move forward and like get a coach and all the other stuff. But no, right. there hasn't really been it. I haven't seen anyone say I love it, which is whatever. It is what it is. If they're gonna move
not
forward,
a good sign.
Not a good sign. But if they're gonna move forward with it, I mean, like I said before, you know, if they win an MLS Cup and have a, you know, Chicago Fire win an MLS Cup and have a parade, I think people probably forget about the logo or at least tolerate it a little bit more. Anyway, the interesting thing was from so Louisville City, which is the USL. Club that I believe is going to MLS right soon. Am I wrong about
that?
They are going to MLS. So the they rebranded. They made a new logo, and I didn't necessarily hate it, but some people this was a little bit more like maybe a 70-30 with there was a lot of negativity, but some positivity. And this was a move from the president of the team, Brad Estes. He basically sent out a statement saying, I'll read the first line. It says, "You are the lifeblood of our organization, and we greatly appreciate each of you. We have worked over the years to develop and maintain strong bonds together without regard for group affiliation. To be blunt, our recent brand rollout has failed you. We had the best intentions, but we lost sight of our responsibility to engage you in the process. We make no excuses. We simply commit to making it right." So, end quote, right? So that's admitting the mistake and going back to the drawing board and working on it, you know, to work on a different crest. And everybody obviously immediately started tagging the Chicago Fire in this tweet because they would like them to do the same exact thing. But I don't think that will be the case with the Fire. But it is nice to see the admission of maybe a little bit of a mistake and going back and trying to work on it.
By the way, I think Louisville is getting an NWSL expansion. I don't think they're going into MLS.
Okay, that's why I was confusing because I knew something was going on.
Here's the thing. There was no reason. I don't love the crest or the badge that Louisville City had. It seems a little cartoonish to me, right? With like the city, with like the, what's that called? The skyline in the background and all that. It's a little bit much.
Yeah.
That said, the changing it to Lou City, it's like, no, it's like everyone, like maybe that's like a cool nickname for it, but it's so well known and it's so well sort of regarded as Louisville City. You didn't need to change it, right? And the badge went from kind of somewhat cartoonish to like kind of so minimalist and really like it looks like almost like an MLS badge, like the actual league logo. It clearly was a bad move across the board. It's something the fans were like, nah, man, come on. Like we built like a whole like sort of culture around this thing. Change it back, which is very similar to what happened in Chicago. But they actually listened. They actually said, and it does take sort of a lot if you're the front office to say like, yo, okay, we messed up here. I get like, we're going to cut production like that. They don't have all the money in the world for them to cut production on new jerseys and shirts and stuff. That's a really big deal. So like, I hope it doesn't affect them negatively financially and they can continue to sort of succeed in the USL. But shouts to them. They've been champions for, a couple of times and they clearly have like a really big name at that level. They're expanding to NWSL from what I've read. So they've got a lot going on. I love the fact that they were like able to take a step back and be like, okay. And you know what? You almost get more promotion because of this. Like, look at Leeds. When Leeds went to shift to that weird dude with like the fist across his chest.
Yeah, fist.
And everyone was like, nah, no, that's terrible. And the internet roasted them. They were like, okay, we won't do it. And they got double the publicity. You know what I mean?
And now they're doing great. They're second in the championship. Jack Harrison is crushing it there. I think he's leading assists. He has a couple goals. It's going to be great. We're going to see Jackie Boy in the Premier League next season. I hope he stays with,
hopefully
stays with Leeds. I don't know if he will get or maybe he might be called into Manchester City. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. He's a City player still on loan over at Leeds, but like, you know, when that happened, they got double the publicity. It's like, I don't understand what. Like, if I was a club, I would put out a really bad badge as, like, a leak, you know? And then be like, all right, we won't do it, when I had no intention to do it anyway.
Okay, just a little ruse, a little, a little trap logo.
Free promo, you know what I mean?
So, it's interesting to see. We'll see what the new badge will end up looking like. But it's I think I'm bringing this up basically for the fact that, I think a lot of Chicago Fire fans would have hoped that the Fire did this exact thing. But it's going to be, I think, the beginning of the season, the first couple months are going to be probably a little bit, I don't know, contentious from, the older Fire fans have been with the club for a long time, and we'll see what they kind of if there's any compromise or where they meet up. But it's going to be an interesting beginning of the year for the Fire. So hopefully the team at least plays well, and both sides can be happy. So
the Fire have a chance to fix this, and that's just sign some really good players and have a great start to the season, and that'll fix everything.
And then
that don't happen, oh boy.
So two more quick things. One, the Cooligans Derby. Everton played Arsenal this weekend.
Did they? I know there was 11 guys out there for each club.
It wasn't much of a footy match, but it was definitely a fixture in the Premier League. Yes, this one ended 0-0, 0-0. Pretty boring game overall, and not too much to talk about outside of the fact that I think both teams were just prepping. This was the warm-up game for their both new managers, so Mikel Arteta for Arsenal and Carlo Ancelotti, both two managers in the same exact class. One probably should be going to the other club. They should probably each just trade clubs because Mikel Arteta.
It's still frustrating. What was it? Backwards Tuesday. What was it? Remember when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. What was it? Opposite day.
Yeah. Right? Chelsea is playing and there's racist chants and they're not the ones doing it. They're fans. and now Ancelotti and Mikel Arteta. Mikel Arteta is getting his first job ever as a head coach. Carlo Ancelotti, who's won the Premier League, won the Champions League more time than Sir Alex Ferguson. And guess which one's going to Everton and guess which one's going to Arsenal?
It is fascinating. And it's interesting, too, because Mikel Arteta did play for Everton for a little bit. So that was it wasn't
yeah,
that
that's
far.
Where Arsenal got him from Everton.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be far-fetched for him to go to Everton either. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But the game.
How do you feel about Ancelotti? Are you excited? Do you think this is going to play well? Do you think the club gets relegated?
No, they won't get relegated. I don't even without Ancelotti, even with Big Dunk, I think they would have still stayed up. But after watching Ancelotti watched the game against Arsenal, and there's a lot of gifs of him just shaking.
SMH.
A lot of SMH. Okay, he's going to be delivering a lot of disappointment to these players. He's going to be disappointing a lot of players. I'm excited. I mean, there's no, how could you not, right? A huge manager going to a club that probably no one expected him to go to. He's getting paid a ton of $9 million, I think, £9 million or dollars per season. I don't know exactly what. So the expectations are high, but they're not too high, right? I think if he could get Everton to be a Europa League club, I think the fans would love him. They would appreciate him because that's basically what Roberto Martinez did for Everton. He got them. They were in the top 10, and then on a good year, he can get them in the top 5 or 6, and that's it. And I think Carlo Ancelotti
needs to do that in the first 2 seasons. The reason he's being brought in and the reason he's being paid that much is he needs to find a way to get Everton to compete with Liverpool. Liverpool's not going to be at the top for forever, right? They've got another 2 or 3 years at the top, unless they start continuously buying even more expensive players. And that gets a little bit much. That gets to be a little overbearing. Look what happened to Real Madrid. You can't keep that up forever. So they're preparing. Everton is preparing for the defending Merseyside or winning Merseyside in the next 2 to 3 years. So that's what this whole thing is about. If he's only in Europa at the end of 2 or 3 seasons, this has been a complete fail. And that's the same thing I would say for Arteta. Arteta needs to get them back in Champions League and that needs to get Arsenal competing for the title every year. If that doesn't happen after this rebuild, which I'm assuming is going to take this half season plus the next season, if after these two you're not back in Champions League, then this has been a complete failure.
Yeah, that's fair. I think those are reasonable goals. I think for Everton, it's probably a little different, and because of the new stadium being built, they're going to get started on it too. And I think the hope is to have Ancelotti. Maybe, hopefully, Everton could be a Champions League club, and they have a new stadium, and everything is new and shiny, and
it's not going to be next to Liverpool anymore, right?
No, it's not. I think it's called the Bramley Moor Docks. So probably in the next 2-3 years they'll be in a new stadium.
Doug, next year we got to go to England so that we can go see what it's like. Everton, literally across the street from Liverpool, before that's taken down, we got to go.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll see. Well, I'm excited about it. I think better players will now be in the competition of trying to get players. There's going to be some guys that are going to be like, oh, I want to go play for Carlo Ancelotti, so I will go to Everton. So we might see in the next couple of years some names that we probably did not expect playing in Liverpool, which would be just crazy. So
including Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
We talked about that last week, which if that's cool, why not? Who cares at this point? Go crazy. There was one other point about Ancelotti that I wanted to make. My only concern is his. He was at Bayern for 3 weeks. I don't know what happened there. I don't know why he got let go from Napoli as well. His last two stints have not really been great, and it seems like he might be a little difficult to work with. So I don't exactly know what's going on. He clearly has a resume, but that part of it worries me. So I hope there's some sense of stability at Everton. Because
I think the big issue is that his standard is high.
Okay,
so let's see if Everton is willing to do what it takes to keep up with that.
Exactly, Theo Walcott, can you meet Ancelotti's high standards and high demands?
I'll answer that for him. No, you're going to the championship, Theo.
Pack your bags, buddy. So that's it. That's basically it. We should get to our interview that we did. This was from our live show at Audi Field. Yeah, so this is crazy. So we haven't put any of these interviews out, but these shows were really, really fun. And every time we get to work with Total Soccer Show, we always have an amazing time. And the audience, who is, I think, predominantly made up of Screaming Eagles fans, which is the DC United supporters group. They helped us put the show together. This is
Gully Squad. Dude, the members of Gully Squad were the ones who put this together. They reached out to their front office and said, hey, we want these guys to perform at our stadium. And it actually happened. This what you're about to hear is taking place in the Heineken Hall, which is sort of their VIP area with these two big garage doors that open out, looking out onto the field, sort of at field level. This is where we performed, completely sold out, maxed out. Quincy Mariqua, who just scored the equalizer in the previous night's match, the next day we're back at the stadium. It's all because of Gully Squad. So shouts to everyone who's a part of Gully Squad. If you want to join Gully Squad, just go to our website, soccercooligans.com, and click on Join Gully Squad. And look, I mean, look what happens, you know? Members of Gully Squad are out here getting us to perform in their team stadiums.
Yeah, it's very much a team effort, and we're all making, trying to make, this league a little bit more fun and have, ancient cool experiences like this. And without a doubt, this was one of the coolest experiences we've ever had doing this show and getting this kind of opportunity, because the crowd was great. And we were able to, like, make a bunch of very specific MLS jokes, and everyone had a good time. So let's get to it. This is our interview with Quincy Mariqua, who formerly played with DC United. He is now, I think, looking for a new club, but still great dude, and I'm glad we got a chance to talk to him. So here's our interview with Quincy Mariqua.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode. We got to break in with a word from one of our sponsors, Live Breathe Football.
That's right, Live Breathe Football, Philly-based soccer clothing brand, but just more than anything, just a dope clothing brand that happens to make soccer clothes.
Yeah, it's like streetwear. It's like streetwear mixed with soccer. It's cool. It's like, everything that's dope or hip, like they have a soccer version of it. But more importantly than anything else, I think, is the fact that these ain't just regular old hoodies that this dude is just buying at some swap meet and screen printing. He's getting the stuff cut and sew, made specifically to his design. He is a clothing designer. Abun is one of the best dudes we've met in all of soccer, and the clothing brand matches that. And that's why clubs like Sporting Kansas City and Portland Thorns have worked with them. And everything they make is so dope. It all sells out. Everything is like capsule launches, but they've got some stuff on their website that just like are standstill, that they're so hot they just keep remaking, and you should buy all of that.
Exactly. And right now they have a holiday kind of like a holiday drop. They have some dope Live Breathe Football kits that have the Santa kicking a gift. So basically it's called the Santa Cazorla.
Very nice.
Which you love.
Oh, Santa Cazorla. I mean, they've got some dope stuff, and Abun is always doing a bunch of new stuff, and it's just one of those brands that we've loved working with in the past. We love being friends with this dude, because everything they do, they care about the game, and they're trying to build the game the same way we do. So I'm so happy that they've chosen to advertise on our show. And because they're sponsoring our show, we were like, yo, we don't just want to mention the brand. We want to give the fans an opportunity to save a little bit of money. And guess what, yo? You're going to be getting some cash during these holidays. Whether you celebrate Hanukkah or Christmas or Kwanzaa or nothing, you're going to be getting some cash. What you going to do with all that cash? All that cash that's in your pocket, you're going to be spending it on livebreathefootball.com, because all you have to do is put in the word Gulliest, and you're going to get 15% off your first order. So, yo, don't split it up into orders. Just get everything in one.
Exactly. So make sure you use the promo code Gulliest for 15% off on that first order. It'll be a good move. That's the next move for you, because I think you want to look fresh, and you also want to get some maybe dope holiday gifts.
Yeah, dude, we're your life coaches now.
For somebody else.
That's your next move. Exactly. That's what we want you to do next.
So again, livebreathefootball.com. So it's spelled the Spanish way, FUTBOL.
That's right. And don't forget to use Gulliest for 15% off your first order.
And guys, we couldn't think of anyone better to bring in for the end of the match, someone to come up here and score.
We need an equalizer.
Yeah, on the volley. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. Quincy Mariqua, everybody. Yeah.
Quincy. There it is.
Look at this. hates the spotlight. Yeah.
So I got to start us off because we're talking about occasionally getting negative feedback. And I think like the most absurd thing I saw today was, I think maybe it was ESPN, maybe it was MLS, posted the photo of your like the equalizer last night. It's a great goal. It's off the free kick. It's like the turnaround volley. The physics don't make sense. The first comment I see is, why didn't you score with your head? To which I got to give you credit. You went back at him and it was a good response. But like, do you get tired of that too when you get that kind of feedback from people?
I'd love it.
You're so built for this. You really are. You're like, I just want you talking about me. I don't care if it's negative or positive.
Just like, thank you. Thank you. You clearly don't understand how the algorithms work. And you commenting my name is getting me more awareness and other people are seeing me. And yeah.
You were like, the engagement's up, so who cares?
Yeah, who cares? We got to see bigger picture
I'm
here,
sorry,
guys.
The Quince Gagement is up. There you go.
It's not a coincidence.
Okay, this is going to it's gonna be a lot of Quincy puns.
Wait, by the way, Daryl, for people who listen to the show or those who don't, I'm not the biggest fan of puns. What was your horrific... Oh. It was an abomination.
I think that's unfair. But because we knew Quincy was going to be with us today, so when Quincy scored the equalizer last night, I think I yelled, "It's a miracle!"
Do you believe in a miracle?
Yell that. Thank you.
Don't applaud. Don't applaud that. Don't applaud that. I love that.
Honestly, that pun was great. It's a Quinspiration to us all.
I'm out of alcohol. This is not going to go well.
Quincy, though, I do want to talk to you about now your time in DC United, but you've been in the league a while. And honestly, the first I heard of you was your sort of on social media talking about sort of defending players and talking about how players should be sort of protected, how they should take care of themselves financially.
Yes.
You're very forward thinking in that way. What sort of started all of that?
Heavy question. Let's think about that.
We did not think we'd stump you on the first one.
Yeah, no. Well, because when you guys say, where did that start? I'm thinking, from what perspective you want me to give your answer?
All of them.
All of them.
Oh,
okay. Well, how much time do we have? I think it would start with just like culturally. My father's Nigerian, born and raised in Nigeria. Soccer or football is the most popular sport anywhere else in the world other than America. So when he came over here, that was when I got introduced to it. But in Nigerian culture, there's three things you can be: a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. And professional soccer player isn't within that realm. So when you're thinking about forward thinking, that's what I was thinking about my future in one of those industries. And as I was playing soccer over the course of my life, soccer became an opportunity or an ability for me to kind of make that transition. So it was that mindset that I developed because of that culturally that I applied to soccer, which is why from the day I joined the league, I was talking to guys like, why aren't we planning for our retirement? Like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we, like,
you're financially
trash.
You're handing out business cards in the locker room.
Talk to me. Come talk to me.
You told your father you wanted to play, you know, soccer professionally, was he like, oh, you're going to be a doctor who plays professional soccer? Like, was he still trying?
Socrates.
Yeah. So I think by the time I finished college, right, by the time I was getting to the end of college, my dad loved soccer because that was the thing that was helping me pay for college. So he's all on board about that. And then all of a sudden, you know, a week before, I was like, oh, hey, these guys are drafting me. So I think I'm going to try that. And it's kind of like, wait, hold on. What? What are you talking about? Like, how much do those guys make? And I'm going like, we don't want to look at that. Yes. Right? Don't worry about that, Dad. Think big picture.
Let
10
me explain
years from
TAM
now.
To you real quick. Yeah.
Come sit down.
I need to pull out these charts.
It's definitely an MLS crowd when TAM lands. Yeah. Like, that's a big sign.
Oh, TAM, I was waiting on that one.
So he wasn't thrilled about the idea, but at that point in time, I was kind of like, what are you going to do? You can't stop me. And I was looking at it in terms of 10 years
from
now.
And then he hits you, and you're like, oh, wow, you
can.
But
that's normal. Yeah. I mean, that's fine.
Nigerian, yeah, Cuban. We get hit every day.
I was thinking, the reason why I decided to go pro was because I was thinking 10 years from now, I think MLS is going to be real big time. and it makes more financial sense just from like just being on podcasts and talking in front of a live audience right now.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? Then
this podcast will make you tons of money, yeah. I promise.
So we're all billionaires. So billionaires.
This is
don't let them fool you. They're collecting a lot of money. Yeah. These guys.
The Midas touch. Yeah. Yeah.
They're gonna be printing out. They don't want you to start your own podcast. That's what it is.
But we're gonna have thousands and thousands of Garber bucks, baby.
But I do have a podcast question for you, actually.
Okay.
Or just a media in general, because we had like Pablo Jason up here talking about like difficult interviews, tough coaches to deal with. Mm-hmm. Flipping that around though, like how is that for you that when you do get sort of like people who you think like that guy doesn't know what he's talking about, that's not what happened
that's
there.
Like most of the time, like you talking to me right now, like you don't know what you're talking about.
What's that? What?
I didn't even know.
So.
Finally someone goes after Total Soccer Show.
Had it coming.
No, I think while I am uniquely positioned for this role is because of how I started out in the league. I said, okay, I'm thinking about this 10 years from now, and clearly no one else is. So I can take maximum risk because worst case scenario, people will tell a story of like, yo, this crazy idiot Quincy guy, I can't even believe he tried this. He was trying to, he was vlogging, started a Quincy Time episode. He was promoting himself all the time. He was saying his website on TV. And he got kicked out of the league, and I don't know what he's doing. He's a doctor somewhere now. Or, right?
Oh, wow. Or I love the doctor's a fallback. Like, right? It's some easy job, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, what a wild alternate reality. Yeah.
Or
yeah,
he did it, and it yeah. worked. Look at what he's doing right now. Exactly. MSL. He's in my head. Must be a conspiracy.
I love how much it hurts Taylor.
I mean, that was solid. That was a solid one.
Yeah, but sorry, your question.
Oh no, it really was just like, so when you hear people talking about stuff that you think they're wrong, like is it difficult to fight that inclination to like go back at them to like to disagree? It's like, well, that's not really what happened there.
I tried that.
The guy saying you should have headed that volley that you scored.
Yeah, well then I just go, clearly you know something I don't. Right? Maybe he does. But if I used my head, he wouldn't have said, you should have done a flick over the thing volley and put it in that way like Zlatan. So
right,
whatever, as long
although
as he's paying
when
attention
you,
to
you volleyed the shot in, right? We were here watching. I mean, there was some players in our way from the Revs, but we could see it. And when you did that...
I saw Diego Fagundes' butt.
Yeah. I saw his butt get real tight as soon as he scored. When you're doing that, when you're volleying, that's not the first thing you're taught inside. In that moment when you're doing something, like, are you thinking like, yo, this is gonna look fly? Or are you thinking like, oh boy, this better fucking go?
So then I can back up more. Okay, so I'm from Bakersfield, California, which is like the mecca of soccer development, clearly.
I'm sorry, the mecca of soccer is the Bronx. Oh, okay.
Is no one else just shocked by like the emphatic Bakersfield applause?
Shout out Bakersfield.
It's a plant.
Industry plant. They're on to me.
Well, I heard they like to grow, so maybe that is a plant. Bakersfield, California. Come on, everybody. Yeah. Ooh. All right. Sympathy. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we too highbrow for a marijuana joke?
No, I talk a lot to the guys about it. Basically, my philosophy is adapt or die, right? And in Bakersfield, growing up, I didn't watch other people play soccer. So I wasn't watching soccer on TV. I just played and I enjoyed playing. And no one I played with in high school made it to college. And no one I played with at college made it to pro. So the way in which I've developed and grown over time is through with having to learn quickly around the players around me and pull from them the things that make them special and try to integrate that into my game. And the way I approach the game, I think most people would consider unconventional, but that's the way I had to approach the game to survive. So I wasn't getting the best passes in and the cleanest passes and the touches in. I'm most comfortable when the ball's up here over the side of my head. That's easier. That goal that I scored today is so much easier than someone passing it on the ground to me inside the 6-yard box. I'm like,
what are you hitting my foot for?
My bad. So I'm jealous of these guys out here because the way that they approached the game was they did the simple things really well over a long period of time. So that's what they got good at. It's routine. I did the difficult things really well over time. So the simple things are most difficult for me. So it benefits me in certain situations like that yesterday, but it doesn't help me in in the sides where people are like, you suck. I don't understand why you're still here. And I go, exactly. Exactly.
You're like, yep.
That's why I'm here. Cause you can't figure it out. Yeah. You can't stop it. So it's more like, they play me because they're angry that they have to. You know, it's like, I'm not happy about this, but if it keeps working, fine.
And I'm here. Do players, opposition players, say anything like that to you on the field about your sort of unorthodox game?
Oh yeah, they hate it. I hate it. And what they don't realize is that just encourages me more, right? So So I had to think about it for a while, and I was in college. My friend Ahmad. So shout out Ahmad if you're paying attention to this. I was just annoying the crap out of him, like just really just.
That is annoying.
Right. And there's a moment in time where you can read the guy and you go like, I definitely shouldn't do this one more time.
Picked the person who would be the most annoyed by it.
Oh, right? That was great.
So it's like, maybe I just have a sense for it, right?
See, the thing is, I got to interject for a moment to say that he's actually the worst person because I literally do that stage.
I've trained for this moment.
He's trained for this. Everything's led him here. But that I see as an opportunity to break him mentally. So it's just...
Do you really make that noise in the game?
All the time. Whatever I need to do to just annoy you.
Did you do that last night?
No, last...
Is that why Philadelphia's defensive line was so deep on the free
throw? So I played against him or his cousins back in Davis with them. So they've known me a long time, and they know I'm just relentless. And I go like, I'll tie it all together. But the big thing is, I remember with Ahmad, because I was just annoying him, and I could tell that, okay, if I do this one more time, he's going to want to fight me, like legitimately fight me. And I went, so that's like, when I got most excited.
Of course.
And we're fighting, and I was taking judo at that time. So then he tried to like, fight me, and I grabbed him and I threw him on the ground, and I was just laughing, and I was like, wow, this is so evil, like this is horrible, this is not good. I was like, why did I take so much like pleasure in that?
Chose to tell us this story.
I'm telling you, so
it's a good story.
That's what I said, it's either gonna work out or it's not, and you guys will be like, yeah, he shouldn't have said that story, and it all went downhill from there. But I thought about it, and I was like, so I'm the oldest and only boy of four. So I have three younger sisters, and my mom and my aunt and then my cousins, all girls. And when you're in a house growing up with women all the time, you can't use your physical strength. Like you can't hit, you know what I mean? You can't fight and anything like that. But women in psychological warfare, right? The only way I can get my sisters is, So I really thought about it. I went, oh, wow.
I'm gonna treat the opposition like my little sisters.
Opposition's like, where's my pudding, man?
So that's where I learned more about myself and why I enjoy that. And I realized that that's a huge asset on the field because most of these guys aren't used to that. So just, if you're paying attention and you see me, you watch what I'm doing.
Just needling them a little bit. Yeah.
But you got to know where the line is, right? Because if you
I can't touch his face. I can't touch his face.
But behind the ears, okay?
But I can.
I'm so uncomfortable for Daryl.
Poor Daryl.
But
picked the one British guy to whisper in his ear.
But that begs a serious question, because we've wondered this. So, that is a big part of the game. Yeah. But with VAR then, do you have to consider that when you're doing that stuff? Because that is a thing where, if you do it, a little too aggressive, and now we're just poking you.
Well, I mean, the ref is going to come out and be like, yellow card for whispering sweet nothings into his ear.
your mother is adorable. Yeah.
You remind me of a puppy.
I guess we have one more question for you because I know you have to run. Mm-hmm.
this is important because we've had the chance to speak to you a few times, and you are a bit of an enigma for a soccer player in the U.S. You have a big personality. You don't shy away from it. You don't hide from it. You do a bunch of stuff, vlogging. You know, you're pushing other stuff, your websites and stuff. You're wearing merch now. You got everybody in your family wearing merch. It's all really cool, like, to see someone doing this kind of stuff. But if you had to say, like, what is the one thing, if you asked some people you've played with or some of your former colleagues, what you think, what they think, or what you think you do best? What do you think they would say, and what do you think you would say?
I think I'm the greatest teammate of all time.
Nice, humble,
super, just straight up. Because the reason why I survive and I stick around a long time is because I figure out what your individual goals are and where you want to be, and then I do the work that you're not willing to do to help you get there.
All right. You sound like a financial planner.
Yeah.
This is great.
So hire him to do your taxes.
That's a genuine skill. That's amazing.
Well, listen, I mean, this was an absolute honor, and I'm glad that you know, you haven't been here long. Some of the fans got a chance to sort of really kind of feel you out and see who you are, and especially not a bad game to have played the day before.
Yeah,
for
thank
sure.
you for doing that.
Thank you very much.
Quincy America,
Quincy America, everybody. Thank you so much. Wow, huh? Quincy.
You know, so you, some people are you know, if you listen to the podcast, you should probably also watch the video, because the moment where Quincy is talking about annoying players and he's poking Daryl, to use him as an example, is really a moment you need to see, because it doesn't, the
because
audio.
Because Daryl is like, please don't poke me there. I'm kind of going through something.
It was a really incredible moment. Yeah, obviously Quincy didn't know what was going on, but it's very genuine. You know,
and we know that Quincy is like a polarizing figure in this in MLS, because you know he's sort of gotten now like a bit of a cult following. But at the time of recording this, he had sort of had sort of like a lot of mixed reviews from people. He gets under people's skin. He knows exactly what he's doing. You know, he does everything with his name. So like he would say that interview was Quinstastic or something like that, you know, so yeah. We get that, but he's just one of the most genuinely nice people we've met in the game, you know?
Yeah. He's just eccentric. That's probably the best way to describe Quincy Mariqua. And you don't really meet many soccer players like him. He's a very unique figure. So I'm glad we got to talk to him.
And he's also self-aware.
Oh,
like,
totally.
He knows when he's being like a bit more salesman-y, or he's being like, you know, a bit annoying. Like he knows that. He's well aware.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. I'm glad we got to talk to him. He's someone we wanted to talk to for since we started doing the show. He's just like one of those much more out there for front-facing kind of soccer players, especially in American soccer. There's not many players that are that comfortable kind of being in front of a camera, talking about stuff, being really honest about the struggles about being an MLS player and financially and all this other stuff. So I'm glad we finally got to talk to him, because it kind of shed some light on who he really is. And overall, he's a good dude. And I love, ever since we had him on the show, he has been much more like, he's like been trolling Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Have you noticed this? He's like almost.
Yeah, he's the only one that can get under his skin. It's great.
It's awesome to see. So huge fans of Quincy.
I feel like after
here.
We did this interview, he became much more of a fan favorite. Like I feel like now people, and I think it's just a coincidence. I don't think it has anything to do with us. Although if you gave me truth serum, I'd tell you it's completely because of us. But I think like, there's so much more appreciation of what his skill is. That whole MSL thing, that mind. What is it?
Mental Mind? Strength League. Mental Strength
Something League.
Yeah.
Mental Strength League. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, like, I feel like all of this now is sort of taking on a life of its own, and it's like its own thing, where before it was sort of like no one really knew what was going on. Now it's like people, fans are kind of appreciating it, and I kind of like it. You know, I kind of hope for the best for them.
Exactly. Same here. All right. So that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you have, we hope you have a great holiday, you know, with family. I hope you also have New Year's is coming up next week. So we hope you have a good party. Don't get too drunk or if or get too drunk. Who knows? As long as you end up safely in your bed the next day.
Yeah, just get home safe or sleep somewhere. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Or sleep with
yeah,
someone.
Have as much fun as you want, but just be alive the next day.
Be alive is crucial. We're huge fans of being alive. Anyway. So,
you know what, dude? Big fan. And by the way, we're not going to do an episode. You're just going to hear another best of episode next week. So you're still going to get a Cooligans episode on New Year's Day, son.
Correct. So this we do not stop. And then we will be back on television with a new episode on Tuesday, January 7th, and then podcast January 8th. And then we'll get going on 2020. And yeah, we got a lot of big plans for the TV show, for the podcast, for live events, live shows. The Cooligans will probably be near you at some point in 2020. So we're gonna be sleeping next to you in your bed. You never know. So a lot to look forward to, and all we can really say is thank you so much for the support. For absolutely everything, just 2019 has been a ridiculous year where we did not. I mean, we literally started the year talking to Ali Krieger. That was basically one of the first interviews that we did in January at the United Soccer Coaches Conference. To being on a TV show, having you know. Just airing this interview that we did with Quincy Ameriqua, and you know, we just had troops on the show, and we cannot thank you guys enough for the support, helping us get here. Literally made our dreams come true, and there's a lot of people who've been with us since day one, and yeah, all we can say is thank you.
I want to reiterate what you just said there, because everyone who's ever clicked download or subscribe on this show. You literally made our dreams come true this year. Like, I can't stress that enough. Like, you know, we've had to add stuff to our bucket list because of y'all. Like, you did it. Like, and maybe we won't be able to get to say this on the next episode because this is the last one that we're recording right now, and then we're going to come back on January 7th. But you guys made 2019 an incredible year with all the terrible things happening in the world. Personally, I've had an absolutely incredible year, and it's not because of anything I did. It's because of everything you guys did. All we did was record ourselves being silly about the sport we love, and you guys literally got us to a point where our families are proud of us, and you have no idea how difficult that is for comedians.
Yeah, I mean, it was life-changing, so we don't... you know, underestimate that. We're really trying to be sincere. Well, I know we're normally two idiots, but yeah, we can only you know, now the standard has been raised, I guess, to some degree, and all we can hope for is to, obviously to keep growing. And you know, if you are a person who has not told anyone about this show, you need to do that. Tell people, get more people aware. We're trying to grow the popularity, not just of what we're doing, but of the sport in general. I mean, the sport in itself, you know, the round ball has changed our lives, and we've met friends that we're gonna have forever, and people that are incredibly devoted to their communities and growing the game, and it can change. It can literally change people's lives. So
and how about this? If you haven't left the review on the show yet, make that your New Year's resolution. Leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on the television show, which you also hear on the podcast. We want, if it's hilarious, and obviously if it's funny, we wanna keep growing this thing. We wanna get bigger and better. We wanna be the number one soccer everything, whether it's a show or a podcast or a live show. We wanna be that. We wanna make sure the most amount of people get to hear what we gotta say and just laugh and have a good time in this game. There's too many serious people in this game. Not us.
Exactly. Exactly. We're very not serious. So
hell yeah.
So thank you. Alexis, we normally end the show by screaming the Cooligans, but I'm recording at home and I can't, my girlfriend is working. So I cannot scream the Cooligans. So Alexis, you're going to have to take care of this because I don't want to.
Well, why don't you whisper.
I'll whisper.
I'll yell it. How's that sound?
Sure. Yeah. She's in the other room, you know, working, and it'll be too disruptive. She's on a conference call. So, with that said, happy holidays to everyone. Thank you so much for listening to us. We appreciate you. We hope you have a good new year. And with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros, and ain't nobody working in this apartment. So together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
friends.
Well done. Peace out, everybody.